Welcome to Braided, helping you balance tradition in an untraditional world. This is a show where we gather and talk about all things faith, family, and business. I'm so glad you joined us. Okay, so audio's on now. So sorry about that, you guys. I saw that somebody just logged on. My audio was not working from the beginning. So so if you were on and you couldn't hear me, I'm so sorry, but I think it's working now. So I was letting y'all know, but my audio was off, that I was a little late because I was messing with my audio cord, new cord. I got a new cord and it wasn't working. And so good thing I went and checked, or I would have done the whole study with no audio again. But I knew that I had been messing with my audio, so I knew I better come on and adjust that. And I'm glad I did, because I realized I was talking with no audio on. So again, once again, I said this without audio, so y'all didn't hear me the first time. Excuse the mess. I am still trying to put up fall. Hubby finally got me some containers. That's why they're just kind of in boxes, thrown in boxes, because I've been wanting to put them in either colored containers or clear containers, just to make it easier to see, because this last time, and I'm certain I'm still missing a Christmas box, because I had some snowman mugs that I had gotten for Christmas a few years ago, and I cannot find them. And so I'm fairly certain there is a Christmas box still in our storage. And so that's why I was like, you know what? This is it, because we're constantly looking, searching through boxes, and I'll have them labeled, but when we just kind of rummage around in there, we'll throw, you know, get a box, throw it on the wrong side. And so then we're looking and we can't find the label. So anyway, with all that being said, I said, this year I want either colored storage containers or clear storage containers so we can find our decorations easily. So finally got some containers for the fall stuff. Finally got those. So that mess should be gone soon. Hi, Linda. I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for saying hello. So hopefully that mess will be out soon. Can y'all believe we're so close to Christmas? I cannot believe we're so close to Christmas. It's gone by so fast. And I was just like telling my husband the other day, I was like, I don't even have fall put away and Christmas is about to be over. Then I'll have to get Christmas put away. But I wish y'all could see Holly right now, because I'm eating lunch right now and she's begging. So I hope y'all are having a wonderful Tuesday. Tuesday. Oh my gosh. That tells you how my week's been. Wonderful Thursday. I wasn't on here yesterday, just like sick to my stomach again. So I literally slept all day yesterday. It was crazy. I slept all day and got some good rest. And now I'm like having all of this energy. So God is good. But yeah, it was crazy. That happened to me Saturday too, where I was just down for the count. There's nothing like a good old rest day can do for you, some sleep and some water. So I had a lot of water, and I'm wearing my wonderful Star Wars Christmas shirt today. Okay, y'all, so let's just dive in. Today we are on day 13, which I know this is not, we're not on the correct day with the Advent calendar, because I don't come on the weekends and whatnot. So, Anna, I think I've missed a couple of days during the week. So we're not going to double up today, because this is kind of a long one today. And I don't want to take a whole lot of y'all's time, but we'll now that we're getting closer to Christmas, I'll try to double up some days next week. So that way, hopefully we can finish on Christmas. okay, so today is day 13, contend for the faith. Today's reading, Luke 13. Other passages to ponder. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Hebrews 12:1. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. 1 Timothy 6:12. Paul uses active and forceful verbs to describe the Christian life. Run, pursue, fight, hold tightly. Some think Christianity is a passive religion that advocates waiting for God to act. On the contrary, we must have an active faith, training, working hard, sacrificing, and doing what we know is right. Life Application Study Bible. We work hard at many things. We work hard to make a life for ourselves, to appear a certain way to others, to lose weight, to pay our bills, and to keep the peace. Sometimes we even work hard to avoid conflict, to stay comfortable and unchallenged, and as a result, we never change or grow. Our souls find rest when we stop all our striving and more deeply. Sorry, I got distracted. More deeply know that He is good. See Psalm 46:10. But there are some things that are worth our effort. It's good to work hard to contend for the faith, to forgive others, and to love well. It's wise to want to be people of our word, to do excellent work, to fight for our marriages, to be debt-free, and to make family a priority. It's a colossal waste of our time to put all kinds of energy into managing others' opinions of us. We actually damage ourselves when we prioritize comfort and ease to the point that we become soft and useless in the great battle between good and evil. Though it's sometimes difficult to follow Jesus, it is also difficult to be saved. Why did Jesus say these words? Work hard to enter the narrow door to God's kingdom, for many will try to enter, but will fail. Luke 13:24. The NIV translation reads, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. The phrase work hard or make every effort translates this way: to enter a contest, to contend with adversaries, to struggle with difficulties and dangers, to endeavor with strenuous zeal, to strive to obtain something. Doesn't that just describe this faith journey? To enter a contest, to contend with adversaries, to struggle with difficulties, to strive to obtain something. We battle a very real enemy who looks for every opportunity to steal what belongs to us. We fall down and we get back up again. We feel battered and bruised one day and blessed and bold the next. We run this race to win the prize. We engage with God, We engage with God and his promises to lay hold of everything Christ won for us. If you have followed Jesus closely for any length of time, you know it's a hard road sometimes. But what did Jesus mean when he urged those who have not yet trusted him to work hard to enter the narrow door? Perhaps a look at the Amplified translation will shed some light for us. Strive to enter through the narrow door. Force aside unbelief and the attractions of sin. For many, I tell you, will try to enter by their own works and will not be able. Luke 13:24. Some have interpreted this verse to mean that we need to earn our salvation. Yet Scripture clearly promises that salvation is a free gift acquired by grace through faith. Picture with me the crowds that pressed in to listen to Jesus. Some wanted to learn from him. Others wanted to trap him. Some were mildly interested in what he had to say, while others hung on his every word. Now consider the Christmas holiday. Don't you find very much the same slice of life? Some embrace this season because they nobly desire to gather with family and friends and remember that our truest gifts are the people that surround us. They may not feel the urgency to know Jesus personally, but they view the holidays a good opportunity to gather. And that's true, it is. But there's much, much more to this season than simply having a good time. Others are so jaded by the commercialism, understandably so, that they count the days until it's all over. Sadly, some approach this season with a shoulder shrug of indifference. Still, others are absolutely captivated afresh that Jesus came to earth for them. If you could peel back the sky and see into the spiritual realm, you'd see a cosmic spiritual battle between light and darkness, between God's warring angels and Satan's scheming demons. All the while, lost people go through life on earth totally unaware of the value of their souls and of an eternity that hangs in the balance. When someone takes a step toward Jesus in any way, enemy opposition will always be close at hand. For some to take Jesus seriously, they have to overcome hurdles of unbelief, fear of man, and the attraction of sin just to get to a place where they're willing to humbly admit their need for a Savior. And you can know that in such cases, the enemy won't just step aside and pave a way for a person to leave his kingdom of darkness and to join God's army of redeemed saints. Consider Muslims who decide to follow Christ. They have much to overcome to follow Jesus. Almost always it costs them their family, their friendships, their home, and even their sense of honor among their people. Sometimes it costs them their lives. We in the West cannot relate to paying such a price for following Jesus. Unfortunately, since that's so, we can all also settle into a false sense of security about our eternity. We may think that since we belong to a great church and we love the music and we have a few Christian friends, we're good. Association is not the same as transformation. In this 13th chapter of Luke's gospel, we see Jesus urging people not to embrace a false sense of security. How is it that some people ate and drank with Jesus and listened to his preaching only to have Jesus say, "Go away, I never knew you"? Hear what they're saying. We ate with you, drank with you, and listened to you. A jarring revelation? No. Consumer religion does not save us. Jesus made it clear then, and we still miss it today. Through salvation is a free gift. We lay hold of it by entering through a narrow way. We let go of the idea that we can save ourselves. We've no laurels on which to stand, no earthly associations that guarantee our entrance. We come humbly to Jesus. We acknowledge and repent of our sin. We confess that he indeed is the Savior of the world. And we receive a priceless treasure in return, the unfathomable gift of salvation. Though it's simple to be saved, none of this comes easy. Jesus paid a brutal price for our freedom. We have to get ourselves and admit we need saving if we want to enjoy the free gift of salvation. If we want the Spirit of the living God to take up residence in our souls, and if we want to know for certain that our eternity is secure in Christ Jesus. And even though our eternity is secure, Jesus promised we'd experience trouble and hardship, but he also promised that we would overcome. We follow a conquering Savior who's deeply committed to getting us safely home. Jude 1:24-25. Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into this glorious presence without a single fault. All glory to him who alone is God, our Savior through Jesus Christ, our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time and in the present and beyond all time. Amen. Prepare him room. King Jesus, I owe everything to you. How can I ever thank you enough for your gift to me? You came to earth, lived a vulnerable life, and died a brutal death for me. You shattered the enemy's claim on my life and brought me into the family. Help me to run my race with eternity in mind. Help me to fight the good fight and to help others get free as well. May the power of your Spirit overwhelm us all this holiday season. Amen. Look up. Consider your strivings. Rest secure in Christ and fast from any obsession with appearances, opinions, and unappointed, not God-given, obligations. Also, do a few hard things this season. Tell the enemy to shut his mouth, put fear under your feet, admit to someone that you follow Jesus, forgive that one family member. Prayer of salvation. Dear Jesus, I confess that I am a sinner and I need saving. I cannot save myself. I cannot perform well enough to secure my eternity or to earn my way into the royal family. Only grace can do that for me. I believe that you lived in a sinless life, that you died on the cross for my sins, and that you rose again on the third day. You defeated sin and death on my behalf. You did this for me. Please come into my life, forgive me of my sin, cleanse me from all unrighteousness, and make me new again. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and change me from the inside out. Today, I turn away from my old life of sin and striving that I may follow you. I believe with my heart and confess with my mouth that you are my Lord and that my eternity is secure because of you. Thank you for this indescribable gift, dear Jesus. One day I will see you face to face. I'm forever grateful. Amen. I am so thankful that that the author of Prepare Him Room, Susie Larson, I'm so thankful that she touched on this for a Christmas Advent chapter, because I think it's so important. And when I say this, I don't mean to offend anybody, but I think it's especially important for those of us who live in the Bible Belt, who live in a city where it's okay to proclaim Jesus, because we're not challenged as much. And it's easy, like she said, it's easy to be like, oh, I go to a great church. I love the worship there. I go to so many events and I have some Christian friends. And so I'm good. But they do this without changing their lifestyle. They do this without truly submitting their life to the Lord. They're still, out partying and just doing things that aren't really Christ honoring. And I say that I'm not saying that in a judgmental way. I'm saying that in a true, honest way. I love you enough to tell all of us that in order to follow Jesus, it takes more than going to church, to going to these cute little, events. It's more than just proclaiming it and saying, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I have so many amazing Christian friends, or, oh, well, I'm friends with the pastor, you know, things like that. Like it's so much more than that, because your friends can't get you into heaven. I heard the dogs going nuts out there. I don't know what's going on, but, you know, our going to church simply can't get you into heaven. Saying you're a Christian simply can't get you into heaven. And in this, and we're all like a work, right? We're all a work in progress. And so I say this with also saying I have been there, and I'm still there in certain areas of my life. Like I'm still growing in a lot of areas in my life. But I once was the partier who would be out clubbing and then go to church on Sunday, and just proclaim to be a Christian when I wasn't living that lifestyle. You know, I was out drinking and getting drunk, you know, the day before, and I had my Christian friends and I felt secure in that. But I also had my friends that probably weren't a good influence for me, and vice versa. I obviously wasn't a good influence for them if I was also going out. And I was probably worse, because I would go out and then go to church on Sunday and pretend I was this sweet little like church girl, you know what I mean? Or I'd post my little scriptures knowing that I had just gotten trashed the night before. And so with that being said, it took a big work in me to finally say, like, I want to submit to my life to the Lord. I don't want to do those things anymore, because I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be a hypocrite anymore. I want to be that good, godly person I say I am. And so it took so much work. It took me losing friends because I wasn't partying anymore. It took me kind of even losing a sense of myself, because that is who I was. I was a party girl. I had to allow God to come in and fully transform my life. And it started with a heart change. It started with a heart posture of wanting to be God's girl and to only be submissive to Him, to stop submitting to the devil. Whether we like it or not, when we make certain choices in life, we're either submitting to God or we're submitting to the devil. I mean, that's just how it is. It's good and bad, evil in, you know, darkness and light. We are always living in one of those. And there's a spiritual battle for your soul. Remember that. If it were easy, then that would probably let us know it's not that important, right? But it's not easy. It is hard to submit to God. It's hard until you finally do it. But once you do it, life is so much like more peaceful. It's not easier, but it is in the sense that you have a trust in God and you're not trusting yourself. Because when I wasn't fully walking with the Lord, if, you know, a problem would arise, it was like, oh my gosh, I would carry it. I would carry the anxiety. I would carry the choices and the decisions, you know, whatever it was. I would carry that. But now, it's not saying that problems or things don't arise in life, but when they do, I get to pass them off to my dad, to my heavenly dad. And I get to say, Papa, I don't know what to do with this, so I'm giving it to you. And, you know, and then I'm obedient. If he needs me to act, I'll act. If he needs me, you know, to say something, I'll do it, you know? And so, and sometimes it's not easy. You know, sometimes he'll ask you to cut certain relationships out of your life, and it's hard. Or sometimes he'll ask you to, I know for me as a VA, sometimes he asks me to not take a certain job, you know, or to not work for a person. And sometimes I don't understand it. I'm like, but that person's fine, you know, but I'm obedient to that discernment and that wisdom he gives me. And so, it's not necessarily easy to be walking with the Lord, but it's definitely more peaceful, and it's more joyful. You know, even when circumstances are happening in life, you're still living out those fruits of the Spirit. So I want to encourage you today. I'm not trying to lecture you, but if there is something in your life or something in your lifestyle, anything at all. I mean, even if maybe you're married and you are doing everything right. You're not out partying with your girlfriends. You're home taking care of your home and you know, all of that stuff. But maybe you have a hard time submitting to your husband. We are to submit to our husbands. They are our head. And wives don't like to hear that. But they are. Darren's not just the head of our home. He is literally the head of, I don't want to say literally, he's the head of me. But he is the head of me. And it's not so he can run my life or be my boss or control me. It's not about control. It's about he is my covering. And so every decision I make, I go to Darren because I know he's my covering. And hey, if once you can grasp this, ladies, once you can grasp the idea of your husband being the head of you, honestly, it takes a load off of you. Because for me, I'm like, well, this is on Darren. I'm making this decision and it's on him because this is what he advised me to do. And I mean, honestly, like when we first got married, I wasn't that wife. But when I finally realized that's what God wanted for me and that's what he called me to do, and I started to do it, it made my life so much easier. Because it's truly on him. He is my covering. That's why we're supposed to submit to them. And I think I may have shared this before, probably here in the group or on a podcast or something, but he says it a lot. Like, take this mug, for example. The man is the hard shell, right? This is our husbands. Now, what's inside is actually way more valuable. It's just icky coffee right now, but I'm not drinking that anymore. You can see where my creamer's old and whatnot. But anyway, I've been trying to sip on this all morning. But what's inside the cup is way more valuable, right? This cup exists to hold what's precious and valuable in there. But in order for this to do its job, it's got to have this hard covering. It has to have this hard covering. So anything that hits this, it hits this first. And if this is shattered, then yeah, what's inside is shattered also. It's a team effort, right? But that really makes sense to me and resonates with me because we're not submitting to our husbands because we're like, you know, we can't think, we're dumb, we don't know how to live life. I mean, I was single for a long time. I got married late in life. I know how to take care of myself. So it's not about that. It's not that I need Darren to take care of me. It's that is how God designed marriage. Darren is my covering. He's going to take, because he's the head of me, he's going to take the punch in the face if something goes wrong. It's on him. And spiritually, it's on him. In the spiritual realm, it's also on him. He's my covering. If I were to do something, even in ministry, outside of Darren's covering, I mean, that's dangerous. That is so dangerous. That's why Darren is involved in everything I do. And so I want to encourage you, if you are a woman that's married and you're having a hard time submitting to your husband, remember, it's not because you're invaluable. It's not because you're worthless. It's not because you're dumb. God doesn't think you can take care of yourself. It's because he knows what's inside the hard covering, what needs to be protected is so much more precious. And it just works as a team effort. So submit to your husbands. Don't be afraid of that, ladies. I know it's hard. Trust me. I had some issues. I wasn't always a submissive good wife. Like, I pushed back probably for the first 2 to 3 years of our marriage. It was hard. But when it finally clicked and I finally understood and I finally just did it, oh my gosh, it's totally different world, night and day difference. So it's, you know, it's Christ over man over wife over children. That's just the order. So, okay, ladies, I'm going to stop right now because I'm just rambling on. But I hope that this study really helped you understand. This is a great time of the year to, I mean, every time of the year is a great year to submit to the Lord and to just really give of your whole life to Him and ask Him, Lord, what in my life does it honor you? Tell me what that is and guide me to change. We cannot do anything without Him. You can, if you're trying to stop drinking, you can stop drinking till the cows come home on your own. And it's probably not going to work. But when we do it unto the Lord and as an honoring, as a sacrifice to Him, and we invite Him into it, we can do it. We can do it. We can do anything through Him. So I hope that you'll take this Advent season to ask Him, what is there anything in your life that doesn't honor Him? And be obedient to that. And watch life change. Watch life change for you. It's not going to get easier. You're not going to have less problems, but you're going to have somebody walking alongside you that you can go to, that you feel like you can trust and that you just have protection with. He is our protector. He's our healer. He's our confidant. He is everything. Oh, He's amazing. So take this Christmas season to honor Him, not just with your words or celebrating Christmas, but honor Him with your life for the whole year, for the whole year. Okay, I will talk to y'all soon. I hope y'all have a wonderful Thursday, so close to Friday. I will talk to y'all soon, ladies. Bye. Thank you for tuning into this episode. Please visit us at www.braided.faith and find us on all social media platforms under Crystal Addis or Braided Faith. We look forward to connecting with you.